Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:19 Central African time, and I can tell you there's a motion in the ocean. There is someone that's always ever fresh, and he's forever young. Because you know why? He takes in the easy way, the easy, breezy, breezy, lovely breeze, and all that good heart of his. He has no animosity towards anyone. He's so pure like the ocean, and he's spiritually connected also. Our very own Adam Kamda. Adam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Adam?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafat, and salam to the listeners. Thanks for that wonderful introduction. Yes, I stay young with lots of vitamin C. Spend a lot of time with the C and you'll stay young. Lovely morning on the Durban beachfront this morning, Shafat. When I got up, the sky above was clear, but I could see some clouds on the horizon. Now, as I look out, I can see dark clouds gathering from the south. But beyond that, it seems clear. So some rain was forecast for today. It seems like a lovely, calm start to the day. I think there will be some patchy rain later, but a lovely, crisp morning on the Durban beachfront, Shafat.
Absolutely. I like the way you described Durban this morning. But it's a, you know, it's a place to be. And you still find so many people from Gauteng still. You know, the price of fuel and the price of air fees and all that being so exorbitant. But still, there's a magnet, there's an attraction towards Durban. I don't know, Adam. Describe that. Describe it. The whole world is listening to you, Adam, this morning. Describe it to them.
Yes, Shafad, with the fuel price going up, it has put a damper on a lot of people's plans. But as you said, Durban is a huge magnet, and people by hook or by crook make their way down to the coast. And there's so much to enjoy here, Shafad. As I look out to sea, I can see people on their kayaks paddling past. I can see guys on their stand-up paddle boards paddling around. The surfers are just bobbing up and down on the backland, Jafar. There's not much of a wave today. There's a light offshore breeze blowing, which tends to flatten the sea. So the surfers are just hanging out, having a chat to each other, catching up. And once in a while, as the set builds up, then they manage to catch a wave to the shore, Jafar.
I'm looking at a message here. Yusuf says, Assalamu alaikum, Bruce Chef and Adam. I'm here on the beachfront. I'm audio streaming and listening to you guys on Marcus Sahaba. Beautiful show indeed. I don't miss it for anything. I want to know from Adam, if I go and dive into the ocean and have a lucker bath and swim, should I go and have a bath again? Because hey, I'm too lazy to go and hit a shower again. Or maybe I want to save the water. This is a funny question from Yusuf here. Adam, your response?
Yes, Shafad, we have the luxury of fresh water in our taps. So as soon as you're done with swimming in the ocean full of salt, you don't want that to dry up on you. You end up feeling very sticky and itchy. So it's advisable to shower down as quickly as possible. And there are showers provided on the Durban beachfront. Most of them are operational. But even if there are no showers at the beach you are at, but I'd go straight home and shower down because there's nothing worse than the salt, you know, drying up and making your skin itchy, Shafat.
I tell you, Adam, there was once upon a time, there's a Pingo Beach pool. You remember that pool? It's a half Olympic size. And I remember we all will go there. Saturday, Sunday, it was a pool day too. We should spend like half a day in the pool. And I tell you, we should dive in, spend the time, go out. There were showers, you know, next to the pool. Have a lovely shower there. And after 1 hour, get back into that. And when you went back home, you didn't even have to shower because everything was done and the facilities were there at the beach to enjoy. And we respected it. But Adam, come now and see that Spingo Beach pool. Come and see the facilities. Come and see all those, you know, the things, that a place where you relieve yourself. It's beyond description, Adam. I don't know. You will cry for your beloved Spingo Beach, Adam. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yes, Shafar, the Sepango Beach has a very strong life-saving culture, and a lot of the youth grow up swimming in the pool at Tiger Rocks, training there, and then swimming out in the ocean beyond the back line and back, and you know, really used to exert themselves physically and develop these amazing swimming skills and lots of life-saving tuition. And a lot of these youngsters grow up to make it a career, Shafa'at. Some of them have even gone overseas and ended up being employed in some really fancy resorts and, you know, being in charge of water sport in places like Dubai, etc., Shafa'at. But as you rightly mentioned, a lot of our infrastructure has not been maintained and left to decay. And it really is a sorry state, you know, in the condition it is right now, Shepard.
You know, Adam, there was this footage I saw about these, there's these two, you know, killer whales, and they went for the sharks. And they actually bit into these sharks. And according to the clip that I saw, it was saying they were after the liver of the shark. And they actually decimated the shark. Did you see that footage?
Yes, Shepard. I did see some similar footage before and also found it quite fascinating. I read some articles about the issues with sharks around the Cape area, where they were preyed upon by these killer whales, Shepard. And it's amazing, you know, if we are not well and we need certain vitamins, we go to the doctor and the doctor will prescribe and he says, you know what, you're deficient in this and here's your script, go to the pharmacy and get your vitamins. But in nature, Shepard, you know, it's left to instinct and somehow, you know, the animals know what they need from each other. You know, you think that the predators would kill their prey and consume the entire carcass, but here we have these orcas devouring just specific organs. And it's presumed that there may be certain vitamins in those organs that the killer whales need, Shepard. And this is the law of nature and this is the you know, the amazing creatures of our ocean, Shepard.
You know, Adam, you're a genius, eh? You're a genius. What a lovely answer you gave me. And there they are, they're looking, and they only look for, yeah, Kaleji. Yeah, they wanted the liver only, people. They didn't go look for anything else or the fish rolls and all. They went straight for the Kaleji. But then you get the human beings, Adam. Yeah, they're going for rhino horns. What is wrong with the human beings? How do you respond to that?
Yes, Shepard, you know, humans think that they are intelligent, but I think they follow a lot of misinformation. And today's age of social media, there's millions and millions of misinformation bits that are floating around. So I think we must go back to basics and follow all the examples that our noble prophet has left for us. There's such a wealth of knowledge in prophetic medicine, and I think we all really should return to those basic natural remedies and explore all of those. You know, it's an example that's set for us, and it's our duty to follow it.
Yeah, Adam was talking about Yunani medicine and prophetic medicine. If you eat even, you know, Adam, when you eat in moderation and you eat the sunnah manner, you know, one-third food, one-third water, and, you know, one-third air, I mean, you'll always be fit. I mean, look at yourself too, mashallah, your cycling, you know, everything. You have your time, you know, nicely planned out. In the morning you do this and you do that. And weekends you do this and that. And, you know, when you get to work, your discipline, how does it, you know, impact on those that are around you, Adam?
Yes, Shepard, they say you should eat as if your food is medicine. Otherwise, you would be eating medicine as your food, Shepard. So always have a balanced diet. I don't overly restrict myself. I know sugar is bad in the diet, but I don't cut it out completely, Shepard. I have some sugar with my coffee in the morning. I indulge in some cakes and sweets after meals, but I don't overindulge, Shepard. So I think, you know, have a balance. Don't deprive yourself completely because that's when you start to pine for certain things. If you cut out sugars and chocolates completely from your diet, then eventually you might end up craving your chocolates. And then when you open that slab, instead of having one or two pieces, Shepard, you'll end up devouring the whole slab because you've deprived yourself for so long. So I feel, you know, have everything in moderation and enjoy everything, Shepard. You know, I'm not a fussy eater, so I eat like a lot of family members would only go for meats and they would avoid vegetables. But I love all types of vegetables like calabash curry and bhaji curry, potatoes with green tea with red chilies, pumpkin. You know, I have a palate for all different types of the vegetable dishes, Shepard. And I think that's what keeps me healthy and strong, Shepard.
I tell you, Adam, we are so alike, you and I, right? You know, we know Allah blessed us. We can cook. We can tune. Yeah, we can tune on the radio. I mean, I, too, at a young age, I had many businesses and so forth. But Allah, you know, took another course for me with being with DZAP, being within the media and so forth. But I tell you, I'll eat everything. And like, I went to the Mia Bank market yesterday. You know, what a feeling. The, you know, the different array, rainbow colors of vegetables. And there was, as you said, the bhaji. And one end, they're selling the samosas with the tin fish samosa. Don't talk to me about that. And the aloo samosa and the, you know, everything was there. And, you know, if you had to buy, and I look at the, when I look at the lettuce, I got a shock of my life. It was so cheap, Adam, cheap. I mean, 10 bucks each. When you go to these other, you know, branded supermarkets, they may charge you 17, 18, maybe 22 bucks a lettuce. And, you know, it's high time our people should start thinking and go and buy local and go to places like this instead of going to these other places. Sometimes you're not safe there, but you go and buy local. You notice you save so much. And maybe in your case, you know, where near your where your shop is, you have that Bangladesh market and that market. I don't know if you have a Pakistani market or the Egyptian market near you, but go there and you can buy it, you know, at a very, you know, a cheap price or at a very happy price, and the price that will put a smile on your dial, Adam.
Yes, Shafaz, in township we are spoiled for choice. We've got Goundens, we've got the spice route, we've got Surens, and then just a couple kilometers away is Bangladesh Market, as you rightly said, in the heart of Chatsworth. And that is always bustling with the freshest, fresh produce. Chapat, and we often shop there before our Saturday evening meal, and prepare a really big spread of all the vegetable dishes. Chapat, we usually have a roast chicken as the main dish on the Saturday night, and all the side dishes are veg dishes. So, as you rightly said, Chapat, you know, you get the freshest of the pick at these markets, and really, really good value for money as well, Chapat.
Now, Adam, you know what? You, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You made for this slot, you know that. You made and you're chosen by divine decree to be with me. Divine decree. And, you know, we talk about, you know, let's talk about the chicken. You know, you get the battery chicken and you go to the supermarket and you say, oh, this chicken. And I don't see Farmer Brown chicken anymore. I don't know what happened to Farmer Brown. But the Zulu chicken, yeah, the Zulu chicken, the real chicken. I mean, you find the Zulu rooster too. He'll walk like Shaka. You say, hey, this all looks the picture. And, you know, the taste that you get from a fresh, you know, Zulu chicken and that battery chicken is like chalk and cheese, Adam.
Yes, Shafat. Years ago, Mom used to buy from this chap in Unit 10. He used to slaughter the chickens and clean it and provide it to us. That chap has moved on now. And lately, we get our chickens from either Desai's or there's a lovely butcher in Westfield North as well. You know, from butcher to butcher, you can measure the difference in the quality and the taste of the chicken, Shafat. And most people will have their favorites, and they will settle down with a reputable butcher who will provide the freshest of the fresh chicken, Shafat. And even some of our butchers marinate the chicken. They have it vacuum sealed in a bag. So it's a really convenient way to pop it out of the freezer, let it thaw out, and then just roast it in the oven to make a quick meal. But my sister-in-law, Leila, has a special hand, you know, with the spices, Shafat, and she usually makes two roast chickens for us on a Saturday night, and we all get together and enjoy a lovely, sumptuous meal, Shafat.
Hey, Leila, ho, Leila, I tell you, yeah, Adam reckon you make the best, eh? Yeah, Adam, you have to send us some taste here. Yeah? I want to have it with roti. You make a plan, Adam.
Yes, we normally have roast potatoes with some garlic in the Shafat, and there is roti on the side for all the other dishes, but we have the chicken goes down well with the roast potatoes.
You know, Adam, you talk about roast potatoes. You gave me an idea. You know, it's, hey, use the air fryer. The first time when I tried the chips, it was a flop of all flops. I said, can't charge this thing. Put the onions there. Hey, nothing happened. But then, you gave me that idea of buying the chips from, the pre-packed one. Hey, it works like a bomb. Now, you know, you buy that the manu steak and you put that in, you put your chicken in or your fillet you buy from the butcher shop with all marinate. I tell you, Adam, you got me addicted to this thing. And it's just like, you know, in 20 minutes, I got my own braai going. And every day, like every second day, when I put the chips into that air fryer, I say, Adam, thank you, Adam. But you really, you know, that air fryer is like... The best thing ever. Like, you know, can this make it two twos, Adam?
Yes, sir. I agree with you, Shafat. And there's a difference between the frozen chips that you get in the supermarket. You know, when you cook that, it kind of, to me, it tastes a little bit powdery inside. So what we do is, if we're in the mood for quick chips, we buy the chips from our local, say, chicken tikka shop. And it's usually hand-cut from fresh potatoes. And it, we buy it cooked already. So they serve it as if you would, you know, eat it straight from the serving. And then we put this into the air fryer, Shafat, and add the extra spices that we love. And this crisps up the outside even more, and the inside still remains nice and soft. And that's the best quick meal, quick side dish that you can prepare in your air fryer, Shafat.
Yeah, there's another tip. Hey, that Bangladesh friend of mine from the Tikka Palace. Say, hey, you coming today, Shafat Bhai? I sell you chips. Adam told you, buy from me. Okay. I'll make a plan there. I'll try and see what we can do there. Well, Adam, you get the different seasons. You get spring, summer, autumn, winter. I want to know from you, you know, you are a seasoned fisherman, but a different season, like in spring, like in autumn, like in winter, and all these different seasons, do you react differently to the ocean? And then you're getting different flavors of fish coming for different seasons. Talk to me about that phenomena.
Yes, Shafar, this is a very interesting topic that you brought up, because a lot of lay people who don't have any experience fishing, they assume that you go out to sea and you throw your bait into the ocean and you just catch whatever comes your way. I mean, how can you choose what species you want to catch? But Shafar, it's completely different to that. You need to follow the seasons to understand which fish will actually be biting. It's as if you're going to buy fruit. You know, you buy the fruit in season. So when you go to the grocery store, you know basically what type of fruit will be available. And it's the same with the fishing, Shafat. At the moment, the salmon are biting amazingly out at sea. So to catch salmon, you usually go out in the evening. So they like to bite in the dark hours. You use whole sardines on a big, like a 9-0 mustard hook with a heavy sinker, like a 16-ounce sinker. And you'd fish in depths of about 50 meters. And when you hook these fish, you got to reel them up really fast, because it's a tug of war between you fighting the fish and the shark on the other end wanting to come and eat your lovely catch, Shafat. So you do have to follow the seasons. And this is a winter fish and caught mostly either early hours of the morning or late into the night. So you do have to choose, you know, your time of year and the type of tackle that you use and even the type of bait that you use. And from the shore, you'd find a lot of garrick coming, moving up the coast at the moment. And for garrick, the guys would cast out a heavy sinker, and then they would slide out either a live bait, if available, like a live shad or a live mullet or even a live blacktail. Or if you don't have live bait readily available, you could even slide out a frozen sardine or a frozen sugar mackerel. And once it gets out to where your sinker is, then it's in the strength of for the garrick, and you can pick up some lovely garrick. So it is important to be following the seasons, and different fish bite in different seasons, Shafat.
I tell you, Professor, you bring it alive, you bring the ocean alive. Now, I'm recalling, you know, I used to go fishing with our later, and, you know, he was, you know, really an all-rounder, and we had such a lovely relationship. He used to actually call me by my nickname, hey, Chef, how's it, Chef? What are you doing, Chef? And come, let's go fishing and so forth. And, you know, all that, I just want to tell you that even, you know, his student, Maulana Jiwa, you know, Tayyar Jiwa, who is our imam of the Swingo Beach Mosque. And he shows me the same love, like what Maulana showed, come and hugs me. And, you know, you can feel the warmth. But I want to know from you, Adam, how many Maulanas come to you and say, hey, Adam, we're going fishing. We love fishing. You know, give us ideas. Give us the spots to go to. Tell us how many Maulanas come and check you out, Adam.
You know, Shafat, I always pondered on this question. How come so many Maulanas are so soaked into fishing? And the conclusion I came to, Shafat, is, for example, if Maulana is based at a particular masjid, he will read his Fajr Salah in congregation, and then he's got time on his hands between Fajr and Zuhar. So he'll pack up his tackle, he'll go down to the beach, catch some live baits, put some live bait out there, and catch a beautiful garrick before coming back for lunch, Shafat, and then read his Zuhar Salah. Then he's after his Isha is also a good time. You can go out and try for some stumpy, etc. And you asked how many Maulanas come and ask me for advice. Actually, they give us advice, Shafaat. I've got lots of Maulanas who come to the shop and buy fishing tackle. And they often tell us where the fish are biting and what traces to use. And they all, you know, they have enough time on their hands to be pondering different types of traces and adapting the traces to different areas that they're fishing, whether it's a rocky area or a sandy area. And if they have success with certain traces or certain types of tackle, like different braids and nylons, they actually share with us, Shafaat, and teach us, not only teaching us the deen, Shafaat, but teaching us the sport of fishing as well, Shafaat.
Hey, I tell you, Adam, I know what the Maulanas tell you. I must tell the people, Adam. But I tell them.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You say, Adam, read your three cools, and then you'll catch a pool.
Yeah, Shafaat. Always, you know, it's a spiritual session when we go fishing, whether it's from the shore or whether it's on a boat. You know, you have time to look around you and to admire the creations of your maker. And also, you know, it's a spiritual connection, you know, besides admiring the beauty, but also the safety aspect. When you're fishing on the shore and it's at night, you know what, you will read a dua, Allah, give me protection from any calamities, be it man-made or natural, and even on the ocean as well. When you're floating around on that boat and you know that the weather is going to turn and you're praying just for a few more hours of good weather to catch a nice fish, and then you pray to, you know, to return back to land safely. So fishing, you know, that's why I think, you know, the Maulanas go so well with this sport, Shafaat. It's really quite spiritual, and it really makes you ponder and brings you closer to your maker, Shafaat.
Well, you know, in my case, I got too many Maulana friends, right? And there were different guys who give you different Maulanas, you know, Damod Bada Khatum, will give you different stories. And one was, hey, Shafaat, you know, the jinns at midnight, you sit on the rock and you start making this zikr and that. Hey, Adam, did you see any jinns at midnight in the ocean?
Yes, Shafaat, that's also an interesting topic. A lot of people are very afraid to go out to sea at night for the very same reason. But I suppose if your heart is clean and, you know, you can read some nice du'as for protection, then, you know, Allah provides. You can go out at night and catch some amazing species of fish and return safely. And but just be aware that this other world does exist, and there are perils and dangers out there, Shafaat.
I like the way you said it. There is that world. There is that world. And that's why, you know, they read your three kools and you catch a pool. In that kools too, you know, the kul a'udhu bi rabbin falak and kul a'udhu bi rabbin nafs. You get all that. Well said there, Adam. Hey, you know, you're really, mashallah, really connected and giving us a very sober advice this morning, or very informed information also. Really enjoying you. And, Gigi Foy. Okay, Gigi Foy. I can hear in my ear. Yeah, he's going to give you a recipe, Gigi Foy. Okay, you want it now. Adam, Gigi Foy is pushing us here. She wants a recipe this morning from you. What you got for Gigi Foy?
Yes, Shafaat, before we go on to that, talking about du'as, when we're on the boat, Vaizi will vouch for me. The du'a we always make, Shafaat, is, oh Allah, please let my friend catch the biggest fish. And if you're so clean-hearted and generous, and you end up, the person making the du'a ends up catching the biggest fish, Shafaat.
Wow, beautiful.
That's always a joke that we have.
That is known as du'a in reverse psychology. Beautiful. Hey, Adam, too good.
Yes, coming to the meal, Shafaat, what I prepared for you today is a lovely, savory pulao rice, which goes so well with like a spicy crab curry, or even fish curry on it, or even just a fried fish on the side, Shafaat. So to make the pulao rice, you heat some oil in a large pan that has a tight-fitting lid, grate some onion, and add some ghee to the pot. Saute the onion on medium heat for a couple of minutes until softened. I like it to caramelize a little bit, so it gives a lot of depth to the flavor of the pulao. Then you stir in some ilachi pods, some ground cloves, some turmeric powder, and bay leaves, and some split cinnamon sticks. Cook this for another minute.
You all join us on a program.
Then you add, can you hear me, Shafaat?
Loud and clear, Adam. Yeah, that's, I see that other fish got away. You can leave that rod. You can carry on with your microphone. Go ahead, Adam.
Okay, so you add those spices to the ghee and then cook that for a minute. You add your rice to the pan and stir it well until well coated. Then you add boiling water to the pan and bring it to a boil. You let this simmer for about 20 minutes until your rice is tender or to your liking. Then turn the heat off and leave the lid on the pan for a couple more minutes. Remove the lid to let the steam dry off. Remove the cinnamon sticks and bay leaves and fluff up the rice with a fork. And there you have the lovely palau rice, Shepard.
Hey, I tell you, you know, who makes the best palau in the world? Tell them, Adam. Who makes the best palau in the world?
Shepard, of course,
tell the woman.
Shepard.
Hey?
Who, Shepard?
You tell me, who makes the best palau in the world? You tell the people.
I think you do, Shepard.
you know what? You're such a wonderful, beautiful gentleman. I tell you, the Memon palau is the best palau in the world. The yellow one, the red one, and the green one. Am I right?
Yes, the Memons are famous for the Akni, Shepard, which a lot of the Westerners call palau, and lovely Akni with some nice meat with bones in it as well, Shepard, and lovely busting potatoes in there, Shepard.
Hey, you got it going. You got it going. Now, Adam, I want to tell you something. Whenever you talk on any media at work, do you have these big speakers? Do you have these big speakers?
No, Shepard, I have no speakers in the shop. It's all face-to-face conversation.
Well, I need you to put your couple of speakers on, because every time when you have this conversation or whatever conversation, disconnect your phone to the speakers and play for the customers. They'll just look at you in awe. They'll look at you in awe. I don't want you to waste your podcast. I want you to, you know, share it with everyone. Would you do that, Adam?
Yes, Shepard, I really appreciate you sending me the recording of our broadcast. And I actually share it with my staff. I share it with our family as a family group. I share it with them. Some of my customers get to listen to it. And they love it, Shepard. They love your rapport, talking about the ocean all the time and even the recipes, Shepard. Some of them have even tried some of the recipes.
Allahu Akbar. Hey, Adam, you bring it alive. And you know what? You're a powerful team member. One of the best. Allah bless you. Allah keep you. Your parting words this morning?
Yes, Shepard. I'd just love to wish everyone well on this long weekend. Come down to Durban. Enjoy the beautiful weather we have. The Joburgers will find it nice and warm. Yeah, we find it quite chilly at 18 and 17 degrees, but to them it's quite warm. Thanks for a lovely show, Shepard. Salam to you and the listeners.
Ya wa alaikum salam to Adam Camdow. Bring it alive on Consciously Connected. Yeah, funny face. Yeah, when you come, you can cycle straight to Adam's Township Hyper. Hey, you'll get it all.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.